Well, I never knew that there was a song for Psalm 13, which is our text this morning, if you want to turn to that. I mean, why sing about a psalm that is about unhappiness or frustration or feeling like God has hidden his face? Why sing about a song like that, why a psalm like that? And yet, if you look underneath Psalm 13, the heading, it says, for the director of music. So here we have a psalm that is actually sung. It is a psalm told of David. But it's one of those kind of cheer me up, O Lord, psalms, because the writer of David wasn't very cheerful at the time. He had some difficulties. And here we are in the middle of the Christmas season, and being cheerful is what we ought to be doing. You know, we sing about Merry Christmas, and we say Merry Christmas to one another. And yet this psalm would not work for that, because it's not a merry little psalm. It's a psalm about unhappiness and not feeling very cheerful. And have you ever felt like that, by the way? I mean, is there ever a time in your life where you haven't felt just as chipper as you want to feel? Yeah, most of us nodding our heads. There are many times where we just don't feel like feeling happy. We don't feel like being cheered up, and even when people try. Now, last week we looked at, from Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. And that was the very last one of all of them. And I said last week that, you know, we're not doing a series from the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to pick some of the fruit. And here's the next one, and that is joy. It's the second one mentioned. First is love, and then joy, which is the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians chapter 5. And so here we are talking about joy or cheerfulness. And of course, again, this is a season where we sing a lot of songs that have joy in them and cheer in them and all kinds of wonderful things like that. You're supposed to be cheerful this time of year, whether you like it or not. You're supposed to be cheerful. You need to be happy, because this is that happy time. But it seems like during this time, I think all of us have heard this before, it affects some in a certain way that happiness is the last thing that they're going to feel. And it can cause people to feel pretty low. And so maybe this is for that person, maybe you or someone you know. But, you know, we do sometimes need cheering up. Who has not had someone else say to us, cheer up, you know, cheer up? And we don't feel like it, but they say, cheer up. And in a sense, Psalm 13 has that message. Hey, cheer up. Because David is going to show us that he did, in fact, cheer up. I want to read the whole thing, and then we'll get back into it. How long, Lord, will you forgive me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I love this little song. Only six verses. It can be divided by two verses at a time, 1 and 2, 2 and 3, 3 and 4, and 5 and 6. And so it becomes a good little scriptural three-part message. And so I would like to divide this up and look at it for us for a while, because we find that David was feeling bad, and we don't know historically. The Jewish scholars don't even know what it was behind this. Sometimes we know that. We'll find a psalm that'll tell us this was written while David was hiding out, you know, from from Saul, or he was in a cave, and we can go back to some of the Old Testament stories and find David like that, and we can say, well, okay, I understand, no wonder. But the reason why this one, I think, anyway, is left without any kind of explanation is because if it were a psalm that said this is about the time when David was hiding in a cave trying to get away from Saul, we would all go, oh, good, this psalm's not for me because I've never had to go hide in a cave from anybody. But this is David just giving you his feelings for whatever it is that is happening to him that causes him to have that need to be cheered up. Charles Spurgeon, said, whenever you look into David's Psalms, somewhere or other, you will see yourself. And so here is David feeling this lack of joy and this need to be cheered up by the Lord. And I think we can all identify. That's the point. We can all identify. And he goes on to say, Spurgeon does, that whenever you find yourself in a corner, you find that David's already there. And this is one of the corners we find David in. And some time has evidently passed, and what he's wanting and what he's saying to God that I think we would normally say when we feel this way is, God, you have forgotten me. You ever felt that way? Have you ever thought enough bad things happen that you begin to wonder, where are you, God? How come all of this is happening to me and you're not helping me? I'm feeling this loss. I think you forgot me. In fact, look at the first part of verse 1. It says, how long, O Lord? That's the question. But there's another question. Will you forget me forever? I've got that word forever underlined. Why do you think David used that word? Why will you forget me forever? He's not asking, will you forget me forever? I mean, that is the question. But the idea is that David thinks God could. Will you forgive me forever? As if to say to God, it's been long enough. You have been on my back all of this time and allowed all of these things to happen. And how much longer are you going to do it? Because it just seems like forever. That's, of course, David talking to God about that. And then he asks a series of how long questions additionally. How long will you hide your face? You know, you're not looking. You don't see what's going on in my life. How long will you keep doing that, God? How long will you not help me to deal with my problems? And then how long must I wrestle with my thoughts? And day after day have sorrow in my heart. How long are you going to let that go on? And by the way, when bad things happen in your life, several things kind of pile together, don't you kind of wonder? Don't you kind of like David wonder, how long, God, are you going to let me wrestle with my thoughts? And don't you just kind of wrestle with your thoughts? Why is this happening to me? What did I do wrong, God? Why are you punishing me? What are you trying to say to me? Those kinds of things come to mind, you know. Not only do you feel like God has overlooked you, but that there must be a reason behind it. Why is it that bad things happen to good people? Well, God doesn't give an answer here, and David is wondering about that. How long are you going to keep doing this? And I'm going to have to keep wondering, what did I do wrong? What is God trying to say to me? And those kinds of questions. And, of course, day after day, the sorrow is in my heart. And finally, how long will my enemy triumph over me? Now, you remember the story of Hannah? Remember the story of Hannah? 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah had a problem. What was the problem? God had closed her womb. She could not have a baby. And her husband, Elkanah, had another wife as well, Peninnah. And Peninnah became Hannah's adversary. And she began to rib her all the time about not having a child. And 1 Samuel chapter 1 says year after year this went on. Boy, does that not apply to this idea? How long? I mean, year after year, Hannah suffered with this, and then she prayed to God, and of course God gave her Samuel. But she had to wait for a long time. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul has just talked about how he's fought the fight and he's kept the faith, and there's going to be this crown left for me. But then he turns as he closes to the fact that Demas has deserted me. I mean, I've been deserted, that Crescens has gone to Galatia and that Titus has gone to Dalmatia. I'm all alone here, he's saying. And Alexander, to put a little bit of salt on the wound, Alexander the silversmith has opposed me to no limit, and so stay away from that guy. And so Paul is going through all of these things, and then he says, at my defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. What a bad feeling to feel. And here's a text saying, David is saying, God, I feel like you've deserted me. And I don't know why. And I'm wrestling constantly with my thoughts about this, why this is happening. And God never answers, by the way, in all of this. And so that might be for us. God may not answer. You may never know why it is that you go through these things. We do have texts like James 1 tells us suffering causes us to grow in perseverance. We have Romans 5 telling us that suffering causes us to grow in perseverance, which causes us to grow in hope. And so we have some knowledge that some of the bad things that happen in our life that we wrestle with and where we're not really happy with them going on, that God may have some purpose behind it, but we may never know. And we don't know how long it's going to last. Do you know, Jesus met a woman in the Gospel of Mark. Jesus met a woman who had been crippled for 18 years. Bible says she was bowed down where she couldn't even stand up. You may have seen people like that. For 18 years, she can't ever stand up straight. And so for 18 years, she's down like this. And Jesus saw her. And he reached out to her and he healed her. But she had to wait 18 years. So how long? Maybe a little longer for all of us. But God hasn't forgotten us. That's the message we're going to learn as we go along. Someone said this, that there is a perverse sense of satisfaction in feeling sorry for ourselves. Sometimes the reason why we feel like God has left us, or we keep on harping on it, is we just get a little bit of satisfaction out of that. You know, when you feel miserable, you know, you can just kind of take a little glory in it and feel a little satisfaction in that. And there's something perverse about that. That's not David's problem. And hopefully it's not our problem. Maybe not your problem. Every time you feel like that, it isn't necessarily that you're taking some kind of satisfaction in it. But we can at times feel sorry for ourselves. But David called on God. That's the next part, verses 3 and 4. He says, look on me and answer, Lord my God. Now, he's not being disrespectful when he says that. He's making a request. You could put please in there. Lord, please look on me and answer. It's been long enough. And so give me an answer. He says, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. You know, this is really killing me. And if I keep on, I may not last much longer, Lord. And so look at me. Take a look and see me as Jesus, for example, saw that woman who was crippled for 18 years. God sees us, and we know that he knows us. You know, God said, church, I have written your name in the palm of my hands. And God has not forgotten us. He is not forgetful of us because he's written our names in the palms of his hands. He knows us. He knows about us. And so for whatever reason, we're having those times where we don't feel so cheerful, we ought to know that there's something behind it. There's some reason behind it that we don't understand. But we can call out to God, which we should, and say, Lord, answer me. Look at me. Give light to my eyes. Let me understand this, or at least cure me from all of this that's happening. Otherwise, my enemies, this is verse 4, will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. God, you don't want that. You know, you don't want that to happen. People looking at us, seeing us, feeling always down and not having the Lord close and feeling like the Lord isn't close. People see that, and some who are the evil kind of people just kind of like to gloat about those sorts of things. And so David's using that with God, saying, Lord God, you know, that's going to happen. You know, if you let it happen, my enemies are going to say they've overcome me. And you don't want that, Lord. That's Paul, David speaking to God about that. But he closes here in verses 5 and 6, but I trust. The New American Standard says, but I have trusted. It's not that God has finally answered him. He's also realized that in his cheerlessness and his looking for God and not hearing yet from God, that in spite of all of that, that I trust in God. He says, I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And I will sing praise, for he has been good to me. That's why it's good to have a song from Psalm 13. Because the idea is to sing through, to recognize the difficulties we might have in our lives and the times when we feel like God's not with us. And we want God to see us and to notice us and to get us out of this. In the meantime, we can trust in God. Whatever it is, we can rejoice in God and because of God's love and because of God's salvation. And we could sing praises to him because he's been good to us. So our feelings can be overcome, even though God has not overcome whatever it is that has caused those feelings, that we can still believe in God and trust in God. One of the hardest things to do sometimes is to think, well, here I am, and all these bad things are happening, and so therefore God must not be with me. It's really hard to talk yourself out of that and remember that, oh, yes, he is. He knows who you are, and he knows what you're going through. And there's reason for it, perhaps, and well, surely there is a reason behind it, and God will take care of you as time goes on. And so David was in a corner, and he got out of the corner in just remembering those things, thinking about God and his love, God's salvation, and God's goodness. But those things never go away, and in spite of times when we feel like they have, we can remind ourselves it's really not true. We can be cheerful. We can become cheerful. And if nothing else, call out to God and say, Lord, cheer me up. I need some help. And perhaps God will do that for us. And so that's Psalm 13, short little psalm. Got a good little message for us. And this time of year when we're all needing to be or being told we need to be merry and have joy in our lives, if we find ourselves having difficulty with that, let's remind ourselves that God truly loves us and God is really with us. He's got our name written on his palm. He has not forgotten. We're very special to him in spite of what we think sometimes. We're going to sing a song of invitation if anybody has a need. Let's all stand up, and if you have a need, we invite you to come while we stand.